Good morning.
Good morning.
The first lesson is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. A fool spurns a parent's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. The house of the righteous contains great treasure, but the income of the wicked brings ruin. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not upright. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. The Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm reading is found in Psalm 18, beginning with verse 1. Please follow the screens and read along with me. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from mine enemies. You make your saving help me, shield, and your right hand sustains me. Your help has made me great. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is found in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned that the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel reading is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, beginning with verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Gospel of the Lord. All right, y'all can maybe seated, and we're going to have just a little time for the, you go ahead. Yes.
Okay. Well, I was going to have you stand, but that's okay. Since you're almost all seated. Oh, you guys are sweet. Let's stand then. Good. Okay, so thank you. This morning we have a children's sermon. JoLynn has a message for the children, and I'm sure for all of us as well. And so we're going to start it with a song. And I thought more people would know this, but it's kind of iffy. So I guess we're just going to teach it to you. I will say it is the words from Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. So rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We'll clap twice, okay? So here we go.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice.
You're really good at this. Here's a key change. Let's do it again. Rejoice in the Lord. Be seated.
Good morning. You're all children of somebody, right? Okay, good. I didn't see many children coming in this morning. I think they are vacationing with their families. So have you ever heard anyone described as being a gentle giant? A gentle giant refers to someone who's big and strong and powerful, but chooses to be kind and gentle towards other people. Instead of showing off their own strength, a gentle giant is careful to consider the needs of other people by acting in a way that makes them feel safe and loved. By taking the time to think about what helps others feel safe and loved, a gentle giant controls their own strength to take care of other people. Did you know that Scripture teaches you how to be like a gentle giant? Now, you may not be tall or feel all that strong or powerful, but every time you choose to hold back your strength to care for someone or someone around you, you are practicing gentleness. The Bible says that everyone around you should be able to see your gentleness. And practicing gentleness should be as natural and necessary as putting on clothes. What is amazing is that if you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit helps you by giving you the desire to be gentle and supplying you with the opportunities to practice gentleness. The Holy Spirit produces the fruit of gentleness in your life. Now, you might be wondering, what does this look like in my life? That's a great question to be asking. A few ways the fruit of gentleness might be growing in your life is through your speech, your actions, and your attitude. Now, King Solomon, he was the wisest man who ever lived, taught that the words we say can either give life and build up another person or destroy or tear down another person. This means that our words are powerful. How we talk to other people really matters. So if we tease or make fun of others or yell at people or constantly point out the mistakes of others, that's tearing people down. But if we encourage others, speak softly to people, and praise them for the things they do well, we can build up the people around us. Whether we hold back the strength of our speech to care for others, it is the Holy Spirit growing the fruit of gentleness in us. Not only can we be gentle with our words, but we can be gentle with our actions. We should be careful not to trick people into giving us what we want. Instead, consider what they want and need. We should be careful not to push people around or control others. Jesus says that we should love one another like we love ourselves. And the Bible also tells us that we should think about what's best for others. Just like our speech, whenever we hold back the strength of our actions to consider what is best for others, it shows that the Holy Spirit is growing the fruit of gentleness in us. Another way we can see gentleness in our lives is through our attitude. When people hurt us, that happens a lot, maybe, it can be easy for us to dislike them or hope they get punished for what they did wrong. Sometimes when someone behaves badly, we can become so mean that we hope something bad happens to them. But that's not the fruit of gentleness. Instead of becoming mean or angry, we can show kindness, offer forgiveness, and give those people a fresh start. While impossible to do on our own, we can remember that God is so gentle to forgive us when we fail, and we can ask him to help us love others like he loves us. Whenever we hold back the strength of our attitudes to hope and care for the good of others, it is the Holy Spirit growing the fruit of gentleness in us. Now, not everyone you meet will be like a gentle giant, but the Holy Spirit can grow the fruit of gentleness in you. Let us pray. Lord, help us to show gentleness in our words, in our actions, and our attitudes. We are thankful that you've made us strong, but it's never okay to use our strength to hurt someone. Help us to use our strength for good things. Give us wisdom to know when we need to be strong and when we need to hold back our strength in order to care for someone or something in our life. In your name we pray, amen.
Thanks, Jolynn. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Lord God, thank you for your spirit of gentleness, Lord God, which is so powerful, trustworthy, reliable, Lord God, that it reveals the character of God in us and through us. So please fill us with the spirit of gentleness and with ears to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. So almost done with the fruit of the Spirit this season. We've been doing they will know we are Christians by our, and then add the fruit of the Spirit. All right. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and now gentleness. The last one is self-control next week. Today we're talking about they will know we are Christians by our gentleness. And gentleness is, and I've said this about a couple of the fruit of the Spirit, but it's true every time. Gentleness is one of the most attractive ways that we as disciples of Jesus Christ can reveal God to other people in this world. It's think about the times we're living in. Is there any time that you can think, I can't think of in my lifetime. Maybe because I lived in California, the Watts riots and things like that, the Rodney King riots, there's so much division at that time. It comes and it goes. But now's the time for the people of God to have and exhibit the spirit of gentleness. We need to be really filled, rock solid with that because it's powerful. When Christians are gentle like God is gentle, it's very appealing to people who are lost, who are hurting, who feel insecure and safe and unsafe. But the opposite is true too. You know, when Christians are loud and hostile and furious about stuff, we're not doing a really good job of revealing Christ in the world. And that is very unappealing. We repel people who really need like Jesus says, rest for your souls. So why is gentleness attractive? Why is gentleness so important to our witness as disciples of Jesus Christ, the wisdom of Solomon? I encourage you when you read, by the way, the Proverbs, the wisdom literature, it sometimes can really seem like there's no, you know, thread here. There's one wisdom after this. How do these things connect? But they do. And so, like, for example, as you read chapter 15, as we heard some of chapter 15 today, the way that they were divided is very good because a gentle answer turns away wrath is kind of that's your core, and everything else is building on the core, showing examples of the core, teaching us what it looks like in real life. And so a gentle answer turns away wrath is a huge thing for this time. And there's something about this word that came to Solomon in Proverbs here, a gentle answer turns away wrath, that should sound really familiar to us. Because a gentle answer, a gentle word, turns away its opposite. You got that, right? Wrath and gentleness, opposites. And there's probably something else you can think of from Scripture that sounds very similar. What in Scripture always turns away its opposite? And when you think of Jesus, I hope you think of light, right? Light turns away darkness every time. It repels darkness. It destroys darkness every time. Gentleness turns away wrath. It may take longer than light destroys darkness, but it always does if we keep at it. And there's a quality to that where Jesus says, I am. Now, you know, Jesus, I think it's only 7 times in Scripture, says, I am something. And he says, I am light. He says, I'm the light of the world. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Well, he's in the world now through us. So his light, he's still the light of the world. But he also says, I am gentle. I'm gentle and humble of heart. I'm gentle. And so there's something about that Jesus is telling us, this is God. This is the Father. This is the quality of God revealed through me. So gentleness is very important to our witness. And we need the Holy Spirit to give that to us. We don't just get it for ourselves. And here in this day and age where there's so much division, so much ferociousness, so much wrath, so much anger, how important is it for the church, for disciples of Jesus Christ, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be overflowing with the fruit of gentleness, because it really does bridge those divides. If there's any hope for unity and peace, it's going to be through the Spirit of Jesus Christ and his gentleness. And what do we usually think of as more powerful? Wrath or gentleness? We usually hone in on the wrath, don't we? Because it's overt. It's a display of whatever power a person or an entity has. Even I see this in kind of contemporary Christianity, and that's us. There's a real movement these days to be all about Jesus, the Lion of Judah. I see lots of shirts, lion, not a lamb kind of stuff. But you realize in Scripture, it's only like one time that Jesus is referred to as the Lion, the Messiah is referred to as the Lion of Judah. I think 2 times in the entire Bible where Jesus is in any way referred to as a lion. But how many times in Scripture is he referred to as the Lamb of God, the Lamb who was slain? In the book of Revelation, the Lamb who was slain, who still bears his wounds for us, over and over and over again. What is more important to God? Displaying his wrath, which he has every right and reason to be able to display, and in throughout Scripture we see evidence of that. But his wrath comes from a place of holiness and purity and total righteousness, and ours doesn't. It can't, because we're not. But how many times he much more wants to be known for his powerful, powerful, powerful gentleness that we can rest our souls in. And that's what the people of disciples of Jesus Christ, we need to pray for that. We need to have that. Yeah. Human wrath comes from a place of insecurity and fear and weakness. Gentleness always comes from a place of strength. Gentleness or meekness, it's another translation of the Greek for gentleness. Gentleness or meekness does not mean weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Gentleness is really strength. You think about a bully, for example. I don't know if any of you ever, as a kid, maybe had a bully. Some of you maybe. I know. I was a fat kid. I had lots of bullies. But you have to realize, that anger, that meanness, that not gentleness, the opposite of gentleness, it always comes from a place of fear, insecurity, doubt, frustration. It always is from a place of weakness and emptiness. And what those people need, and why the Spirit of God's gentleness is so important to them, that we reveal to them that we don't blow up, that we don't lose our cool. Erech Apayim, right? The patient, slow to anger, having a long fuse, so that we can maintain God's Spirit of gentleness. Because when they realize, wow, you are full of something that I know I need, and where can I get what you have? then we can lead them to Jesus and point them to Jesus, and they can be filled and never be insecure again, never have to be afraid again. Their souls can have the rest of being carried. You remember the old Footprints poem? Some of you maybe remember. There's an old poem, Footprints in the Sand, and I don't know it by heart or anything, but it's about this guy has a dream, and in his dream, he sees scenes from his whole life, and on the beach, there's sandy beach, there's these two sets of footprints that are walking, and it's this man and Jesus. And he notices that throughout times in his life, there's only one set of footprints. And he notices then that every time it's one set of footprints, that's always some really hard time in his life, when he's really down, when he's really hurting. And he says to Jesus, why, when I was at my worst, when I needed you the most, why is there only one set of footprints? Where were you? And Jesus says, well, that's when I carried you, my child. That's such a great metaphor, great symbol of how we need to be as disciples of Jesus. It's a help thing. Gentleness is a help, carries weight. Jesus, in Matthew 11, in the gospel, he says, come to me. Now, I think this is really important for us to remember. When Jesus says, come to me, that he came to us first. You with me? He didn't go up to the highest mountain in Tibet and say, brave the avalanches and the weather and march on coals and do. He didn't say you have to do all that to come to me. He came to us so close that we could hear his voice say, here I am. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That is a promise of the power of God's gentleness. I am gentle. That is something Jesus wants us to know about the character of God the Father, that he reveals, and then we get to reveal it. So what is his yoke? Take my yoke upon you. What's his yoke? How do we take it upon us? God's yoke is his love. He is love. And because he is love, he has a compulsion. He is compelled to be in relationship with us. That's what love does. It binds us together. And so he says, when I want you to take my yoke upon you because I want you to be part of my family. I think about, whenever you think about God's love, beloved, 1 John 4, 7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another. That's already plural. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love God does not know love, for God is love. And so throughout Scripture, beginning in Genesis, the love of God does what? Creates relationships, marriage, children. God is referred to as God the Father because he wants us to be his children. Jesus is referred to as the bridegroom because the church is to be one with him, married to him. Relationship, take my yoke upon you. And he offers it freely. He comes to us, he offers us his love, and we can take it or we cannot take it. But if we're going to take it, let's take it, let's accept it, let's put it on us, let's wear it, and let's keep it on. Because if we're yoked with him, Then here's the great thing about being yoked. What happens to us when we take his yoke upon us? Think about two animals that are yoked together. I talk about this a lot, but I think it's such an important thing that Jesus says here. Because yokes are made so that the stronger animal carries more weight. So you got an ox and a donkey. The yoke is made so that the ox carries way more weight than the little donkey, okay? So when we're yoked to Jesus, our weakness is absorbed by his power. Well, also we have to remember that if we're yoked to Jesus, he uses that word yoke on purpose. Why? Because what are animals with a yoke on doing? They're working. They're plowing a field. So they're digging a furrow through whatever kind of soil is in front of them. And it could be full of rocks and boulders and tree stumps and all sorts of mess. And if I'm trying to plow through that stuff on my own, I say, hey, God, I really want to do your stuff and I want to do it your way, but I kind of want to do it without you. So I'm going to go straight ahead down the path. And the first rock I stub my toe on, I'm done. But if I'm yoked to him and he is all powerful, then we are going to dig the furrow that he wants to dig. And I can say, hey, I don't like this, and I'm going to go do things my own way. Well, then if the yoke is that loose, I don't know if we were ever really yoked together. But if I'm yoked to him, and I'm wearing that yoke, and I'm never going to take that yoke up off, why resist him? He's going to plow the furrow he wants to plow. And when we go along with him on his path, his way, fruit happens. Harvest happens. I can expect the attractiveness of his gentleness to be evident to all so they can experience his nearness. Because essentially, when we're yoked to Jesus, we want what he wants. And if his desire is to have us be yoked to him, then when we're yoked to him, then our desire becomes for other people to be yoked with him like he wanted us to be yoked with him. And so the kingdom of God, the family of God, grows connected, bound by the Holy Spirit. When I'm yoked to him in his love, in his gentleness, plowing his field, doing it his way, I can expect the attractiveness of his gentleness to be evident to all so they can experience his nearness. Philippians 4, Paul says this, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. If we're resting in the powerful gentleness of Jesus, do we have stuff to rejoice for? So rejoice. Let your gentleness, he could have put any characteristic of God in there, but it was so important to him to say, let your gentleness be evident to all, because your gentleness is, that word evident, evidence that the Lord is near. And if the Lord is near, he's calling you. And if the Lord is near, he wants you. And he's so close, he offers you his love, right? Paul knows that our gentleness, which is, Paul knows that our gentleness, which is the gentleness of Christ in us, not only reveals the love of God, not only proves that Christ is near, not only attracts people to the gentle power and stability of Jesus, but just like light helps plants to grow, going back to the light thing, his gentleness, the light of gentleness helps us to live. It's a life-giving thing. Like Jolynn said, it's life-giving. Again, Solomon wrote, the soothing tongue. Again, this is all part of that stream that Solomon's writing about gentleness. The soothing tongue is a tree of life. That's a bold statement, because when you say tree of life in the Bible, you got to think on two ends. You think in the Garden of Eden and the tree of life that we lost because of sin, and the trees of life that will be growing along the river of God that flows from the throne of God that we find in the book of Revelation. But our words, the soothing tongue, the gentle word that turns away wrath, that's a tree of life. But a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Do our words help or hurt? Yes. You know, they either do. They do one or the other. They help or hurt. They're usually not benign. So a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. A gentle tongue uplifts people, always helps people. It's life-giving. And God's gentleness is always connected with help. It doesn't just sit. It's always connected with help throughout Scripture. In fact, when in Psalm 18, when David says, "Your help has made me great," in Hebrew, and I won't get into the whole language thing like I sometimes do, but your help is also the same word, help, as gentleness. So in some of our translations, it says, "Your gentleness has made me great." But that word great also means multiply. It means to multiply in Hebrew. Greatness is about multiplication. Go back to what we said about God's love and the family. And what do we want? Lots and lots of family. It multiplies. It's a multiplying thing. More marriages, more kids, more families, more, more, more. Because God's love multiplies. Gentleness helps, and it multiplies. Okay? And so he says, this is a way that we can actually translate, is a very viable translation of Psalm 18, the end of Psalm 18:35. Your gentleness has made me multiply your life-giving help. Gentleness helps. It doesn't only turn away wrath, which is a help, but it literally goes to help. And that leads people to Jesus. Paul says in Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything. And then he talks about how to cultivate. This part is about cultivating gentleness. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Be known by everyone. Reveal Jesus. But here's how you cultivate it. Don't be anxious. Anxiety will take away gentleness. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, which is, we also say, supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And you can see how cultivating gentleness creates a very stable, strong, firm foundation of God's love and power when we cultivate that. Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. All of those things, every single one of these, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. These are all either synonyms for or adjectives or adverbs of gentleness, God's gentleness. It's the power of the firm foundation. This is what it looks like in action. And he says, learn from me and put it into practice. Put it into practice. Why do we put it into practice? It's so important that we practice the fruit of the Spirit. It's so important that we practice helping, because then you will know that the Lord is near. That's how they know. They will know we are Christians by our gentleness, right? And then, finally, Paul says, all right, I practice this because, why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4, 13, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet, it was good of you to share in my troubles. In the context of gentleness, look what Paul is doing here. He's being very encouraging to the Philippian church, because he says, you know what? I've had plenty and I've had want. I know what it feels like. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ gives me everything I need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me, but y'all tried to help me in my troubles, and I recognized it as the power and the presence of God in you. You tried to help me, and I saw that Jesus was near. He's being very encouraging to them about what it means to be a gentle help in this world. I noticed it. I want you to know that I noticed it. I didn't need it, but you gave it to me. It's so good. It's so good. How do we become people who always default to gentleness instead of wrath? take his yoke upon you. He came to say, I love you. Would you love me back? And we say yes. We become yoked to him in his love. Take my yoke upon you. Accept and receive his love. Cultivate it. Pray without ceasing. Allow him to be your strength and guide your path. We have to ask for the Spirit, right? The disciples prayed in the upper room, and they received the Spirit at Pentecost. They prayed again. They said, "Fill us with your Spirit." In Acts chapter 4, the earth shook. The whole building shook. They were filled again with the Holy Spirit. We ask for the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit, and we flow in the Holy Spirit, and God is revealed in us. So let him be your firm foundation. Pray without ceasing. Allow him to be your strength and guide your path. And in that firm foundation of his love and faithfulness, we can function in gentleness. Now, I'm going to end with that today. And normally I would love to go and give you more relevant examples, but I'm out of time. But in your bulletins, you should have an insert that has 12 practical ways that we can practice God's gentleness in this world. And, you know, that can be your homework for the week. For those of you who are watching online, we'll have those attached to the sermon and on the website. But we need to practice this. Receive the yoke, cultivate the gentleness, and put it into practice. And here's some ways that you can do that. Next week, we're talking about self-control. And it's so important because all of the fruit of the Spirit kind of hinge on that, and it's not what you think it is. So come next week and find out what Paul means by self-control and what the Bible means by that. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your powerful, stable, reliable, forward-moving, helping gentleness. Lord, fill us with that Spirit, your Spirit of gentleness, with your powerful love. Help us to have the same, be compelled the same way you are, to give evidence with our lives, Lord Jesus, that you are near, that those who are seeking can find out, hey, you found them and you're calling them now. And for those of you who are seeking Jesus and want him now, now's the time. Just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving me. I love you back. I'm sorry for my sin, and I give my whole life to you. I want to be yoked with you now and forever. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.